Good evening and welcome along to this week's episode of The Score with myself, Mark Gallagher, with you from now until 8 o'clock. As always, here on Highland, we have a busy show lined up to review and preview all the latest stories in the world of sport here in the Northwest. Coming up on the show tonight, we'll be speaking to young darts player Jack Porter, who won the coveted JDC Volts title on Sunday in Letterkenny. We'll hear from Paddy McDade, the head of women's football at Finn Harps, as the club have entered a team in the 2026 Women's Development League. Donegal Town football manager Ryan Hegarty will talk about life in the top tier of the Donegal Junior League after their impressive opening day win over Kilmacrenan Celtic. But firstly, we're going to focus on League of Ireland soccer. Finn Harps and Derry City are both back in action tomorrow evening. Finn Harps are on the road again. They're away to Cove Ramblers, while Derry go to Drogheda United. And I'm happy to say, joining us on tonight's show is former Finn Harps captain Keith Cowan. Keith, it's been a while since we had you on. How are things?
All's good, Mark. Yeah, we're just kind of settling back into the football, and you know, Keith still stayed in touch with the League of Ireland stuff. So yeah, busy time all around.
You're back in action with Letterkenny Rovers for another year. I see you've made a strong start once again, shaping up to be another good season for you.
Yeah, look, it's obviously very early days, and you know, it's good to get, I suppose, the first one on the board. And we played Glenae there last Sunday down at Lakeview, and you know, they're a good side, well organized, you know, and they'll cause teams problems this year definitely as well. You know, obviously they're still finding their feet, moving up a level as well, getting promotion last year. So yeah, look, it's good, as I say, for us to get a one early and get 3 points and get boys scoring goals. But yeah, look, there'll definitely be tougher days ahead for us.
We'll get on to some League of Ireland stuff now, and let's talk Finn Harps. After such a promising run, the last 2 weeks haven't really gone to plan. That defeat to Cork, and then it's kind of a case of what might have been in the league, leading against Bray and Wexford, but ultimately coming out on the losing side in both occasions.
Yeah, not so good. I suppose kind of like there was a lot made of that Cork game in terms of, you know, an opportunity really to, I suppose, maybe get into the semi-final of the FAI Cup for a start. You know, you think you're looking at Cork, who were struggling in the Premier, and you know, and Harps had been going so well, and then it just kind of, it all came crashing down so early. And like, when you're missing Conor Turris, which is a massive player for Finn Harps, you know, this year, and Max Hutchinson as well, you know, so you're pretty much two out of your back four has gone there straight away, and conceding early goals, you know, you're up against it. And you know, that's just kind of been the theme then, you know, going into Bray there last week as well. You know, going ahead, getting yourself ahead, them going down to 10 men, you're thinking, right, let's just, you know, be difficult to beat here now, and, you know, maybe, you know, get a lot more organised and maybe sit in a bit more. But that wasn't the case. And again, just mistakes, you know, penalties, you know, conceding two penalties then, and, you know, just that little bit of an experience maybe to maybe not get caught the wrong side and not to be making silly tackles or... Yeah, and it's just, you know, that was their undoing down in Bray. And then maybe, look, not, you can't be too critical, because we know the situation at Harps at the moment. And, you know, Kevin is, he's trying to, you know, establish some young players and, you know, trying to get the older lads that are there to maybe take a bit more responsibility. But it was a bit of a disaster on Monday night, you know, when you look at, you know, three set pieces led to three goals, you know, headers, the same player, you know, who there is taking responsibility for that. And I'm sure after the game, Kevin had a few choice words for the group as an entirety. You know, we would have learned a lot about the group and about some individuals that night, you know, who was willing to, you know, put their body on the line, and, you know, who was all in. And when it goes to maybe, you know, with a couple of games to go, and I think there's maybe four games left in the season, you know, who will he be looking to keep for next season? And, you know, who is kind of surplus to requirements at Finn Park? As I said, like, he would have learned a lot from Monday night and maybe the last few nights, like conceding 9 goals in 3 games. And maybe up to that, they hadn't conceded 9 goals maybe for 10 games. you know. So, yeah, look, that's a difficult one to take for them. But look, it doesn't get any easier this weekend. A tough trip to Cove, and again, that'll be a real test of character.
Yeah, a long trip south tomorrow night to face Cove, as you say. There are four games to go. Is it just a case now of finishing the season as strongly as possible and maybe trying to build some momentum again to go into the off-season with?
Yeah, look, I think it's a case of now there'll be a few players that will be playing for their future and will be playing for contracts next season. Like we've seen what Kevin was able to do in the summer there with the transfer window, you know, bringing in the likes of Mpongo, who's going to be, you know, who hit the ground running for them, scoring, you know, great goals, individual goals. You know, he's just seems to be a real asset to them at the minute, playing with confidence. So he's going to be one, obviously, you know, that other clubs are going to have their eye on too. But with the remaining games, you know, there's not many easy games in there as well. There's no easy games in that league for a club like Harps. And I think it's just a case of, yeah, look, trying to, I suppose, get back on track. Yes, it's difficult away to Cove, who will have their sights set on promotion as well. So you're facing a different beast down there. But I think Ken will be looking around, saying, you know, who's up for the fight? Who wants to be here? Who wants to put their body on the line and give it everything for the last game of the season? And, you know, or who wants to walk around town wearing a Van Harps tracksuit? I think that's the two kind of camps that he seems to be dealing with at the minute. And, you know, yeah, so there's still an opportunity for players to say, put themselves in his thoughts for next year, and then there'll be a few that are probably maybe out the door already.
And if we focus on tomorrow night's game, it's, as you say, it's going to be a difficult task to get something from the game down in Cove. Cove are a very good side with still a lot to play for this season. They'll likely end up in the playoffs, and they'll be really looking to get back into the Premier Division, so a tough game ahead.
Oh, definitely so. And you kind of have two teams that are like at just the opposite ends of the scale now. You know, like Harps' chances of getting into a playoff are all but gone, and then you have Cove then that's pushing for promotion. So look, they'll want to go down there and they'll want to be solid, and they'll not want to take a tank in. But you know, something like that, and again, you're looking at the players that were missing. Connor Turris, that, like I mentioned, is a bit of a blow for them. I think he's out this week. You know, and he's had a really good season. You know, a couple of niggly injuries that have, you know, kind of kept them out for periods, and then the odd suspension. But look, you're going to get that at centre back. But you really do want your full deck going down there to play in those games. And I think it's just a case of, as I said before, there, Ken will be looking around the dressing room and seeing he's up for the fight. And yeah, they'll just really need everyone to have a real 7-8 out of 10 this week to try and get something out of the game.
In terms of that first division picture, it looks very likely, obviously, that Dundalk will be going up automatically as champions, and that maybe Cove, Bray, UCD and Treaty will end up in the playoff spots. If that is the case, who would you fancy to go up alongside Dundalk?
It's difficult, I suppose. And then you look at the teams coming down in the playoff as well. Look, it's going to be, Cove have been there all season. But look, when it comes to playoff games, you just never know. You know, obviously, we've seen what Bray can do in there. You know, if UCD have a decent season, Treaty could be dark horses, you know, kind of pushing late. So you really just don't know when it comes to the playoffs. And then again, look, the team that's coming down, it's looking like maybe Cork might be an automatic coming down. You know, is it going to be Galway? Is it going to be Waterford? So you've got real quality teams coming down there as well. So it's not going to be just cut and dry in terms of who goes up and down. There's still a lot of football to play yet. And yeah, it's definitely going to be an exciting running.
In other First Division games tomorrow, Leaders Dundalk home to UCD, Bray host Longford, Treaty go to Kerry, and Munster Derby and Athlone are at home to Wexford. Now we'll move on to the Premier Division. It could potentially be all over tomorrow night, Keith, if Shamrock Rovers beat Bohemians and Derry lose to Drogheda, Rovers will win the title. How likely is that to happen?
Yeah, look, those games are always massive games. You know, the Dublin Derby, you know, Bohs always seem to have Rovers' number when it comes to those games. You know, they always seem to do well. Maybe always not as much at Tala where the game is this week, but it's a massive week for Shamrock Rovers all in. You know, when you think of, you know, potentially becoming league champions tomorrow night, and then they have their first Conference League game against Sparta Praha of the Czech Republic. They travel out there for that one next next Thursday night, and then they have I think they have Kerry at home then in the semi final of the FAI Cup the following Sunday. So huge week for them. Look, they find themselves in a great position this year. Look, Stephen Bradley again is, you know, showing why he's touted for, you know, maybe some top jobs across the water. He's assembled an amazing squad there, massive experience, you know, all kind of household names, and you know, in terms of the League of Ireland, that have, you know, that are constantly week in, week out churning out performances and, you know, doing really well for their club. And obviously they have a massive carrot with Europe and everyone wants to play in that. So look, their season doesn't really finish tonight, obviously. So they, you know, they have just so much to play for, and it's going to be a difficult one for Bowes. Again, look, they've, you know, done really well this season in second place there at the minute, although 10 points behind them. But look, it's always an exciting fixture, and I'm sure there'll be fireworks, no doubt.
Derry City, as I said, they play your old club, Drogheda, tomorrow night. What way do you see that one going?
Yeah, look, it's always a good game, Derry against Drogheda. I think the season so far, there's been a draw the last time there down at Weaver Park. Derry won at home 3-0, and I think then Drogheda beat them in the cup on penalty. So kind of it's hard to know which way this one might go. Drogheda, you know, always really dangerous at home, you know, always, you know, get the crowd behind them, you know, do well at home. That's kind of tight pitch and Drogheda, but it's just, look, this one could go either way. Both teams pushing. Drogheda, you know, and fifth and 46 points, and, you know, Derry in third. So Derry obviously need that European spot. You know, they've been sort of last year, again, the spending that we talk about maybe with them constantly is always in there. You know, Tiernan Lynch has, you know, assembled a great experienced squad. We know that he's lost Liam Boyce for the rest of the season with a knee injury. Yeah, look, last time out again, another unconvincing home game for them. So maybe they're up, maybe better on the road. They went to Bowes and won a few weeks ago. So look, this one could go either way as well. Two top teams fighting it out for that European spot. So yes, it's really probably too close to call.
What about St Pat's? They've, a bit similar to last year, they've made a late run. Is it too little, too late for them to make the European spots?
Pats have really kind of flattered to deceive this year. You know, there's a lot of talk about them, you know, tip to win the league. Obviously, we know Stephen Kenny, manager, in there. You know, we have Mason Mealy, who's, you know, has moved to Tottenham and, you know, has been excellent this season. Like, a big win for them against Cork there on Monday night, you know, 4-0. And like, that was, I suppose, you know, kind of springboards them now. Will that push them on to maybe, you know, try and nick that last European spot? Who knows? Like, they have, you know, they've got a fantastic squad, and, you know, it definitely makes this an exciting run-in with, you know, so many teams, you know, vying for Europe. And again, look, it just shows you that the league is getting ever competitive, although maybe it shows you as well that Shamrock Rovers, you know, being able to get into the Conference League helps their spending power in the off season and when transfer windows open. So yeah, look, it's a massive game for Stephen Kenny, you know, for his resume as well, to maybe, you know, the fact that he was coming back into the league and so much was expected. So yeah, I think watch this space in terms of what will Pats do, but as I said, it definitely makes it an exciting run-in.
Yeah, exciting surely, and we'll just finish maybe with a bit of word about the bottom of the table. Galway have had a really difficult second half of the season, and they've gotten dragged right into a relegation scrap. At the minute, you'd have to say it looks like they're going to be in the relegation playoff, and Cork, even though they've made a fist of it, they're down, are they?
Yeah, it would kind of appear that way. You know, like, you look at Galway there, you know, like, I think their last win was the 20th of June, you know, so that's a long time without a win. And, like, you know, I've been involved unfortunately I've been involved in those kind of relegation scraps before, and, you know, that's tough, you know, when you definitely be earmarking this game as, you know, an opportunity to try and get your first win in a couple of months. You know, you have Cork coming up there You know, again, Cork, as you mentioned there, you know, a good result against Rovers there, maybe taking a point off them. But, you know, then against Pats there on Monday night, you know, again, you know, shipping four goals, it doesn't do much for the confidence. And, you know, look, they still have their FAI Cup game against Pats coming up, you know, so that sort of adds a wee bit of, you know, bounce around the place. You still have something to play for, you know, what they'd like to think that they're not totally out of it, because they will see the way that Galway have been going. So this is a really big game in terms of what way the relegation battle might actually shape up. And, you know, are Cork totally gone? Will Galway, you know, find a way out of it? So yeah, a really big game ahead, and this is definitely one to keep an eye on tomorrow night.
Yeah, so the Premier Division games tomorrow night are Drogheda against Derry, Shamrock Rovers, who could potentially win the league depending on how things go there, away at Dublin Rivals Bohemians. Shells take on Waterford, and Cork are away to Galway United. Keith Curran, thanks very much for joining us on The Score tonight, and we'll be in touch again soon. All right, take care.
Cheers, Mark. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Former Harps captain Keith Cowan looking ahead to this weekend's League of Ireland fixtures. Now, locally, the Donegal Junior League is up and running, and this weekend sees the second series of games across various divisions. Donegal Town are back in the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division, having clinched promotion at the end of last season, and they got their top-tier campaign off to a winning start last Sunday against Kilmacrenan Celtic. Chris Ashmore has been speaking to Ryan Hegarty, who was appointed as their new manager this season.
Ryan, many thanks for joining us on the programme. Donegal Town up into the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division, having got promotion at the end of last season. And you've got off to a great start. You had a 1-0 victory over Kilmacrenan Celtic, so that's very encouraging.
Chris, it's a good start. You know, Kilmacrenan are always a very strong team, so good to get the result over them. We said at the start of the year the home results will be very important this year. So, yeah, we have to say we're very happy with that one. Yeah,
now every point earned is going to be hard fought, because it's a tight old division, that there's no bad teams in it. Well, you have taken over this season in the managerial hot seat at Donegal Town. So have you set any particular targets, or what are your own expectations?
Well, first year back up, you know, first and foremost, I think everyone wants to stay in that division. Most teams are really concentrating on that. But we do feel we can do more than that, and hopefully we can continue in that start and do more than just try to stay up. We'd like to compete at the... Everyone wants to compete at the near the top, so look, we'll try to do that as well.
Yeah, and it could well be argued that the season before you had a very good season and just lost out in the playoffs side of things to go up. So the team has been building sort of over the last few seasons. Any particular additions this year, or is it much the same squad as last season?
We've got the same squad as last season, and we have it's not new players. It's all sort of former players coming back. We've got Alton O'Grady. He spent the last few years at Ballinamallard. He's back with us. He's a massive addition there. And we have Callum Mascarey and Conal Flannery, who have been away at Finn Harps underage teams. So we've got them three along with last year's squad. So, yeah, we're very happy with the squad there.
And what about the facilities down at the hospital field? I saw the YouTube, I think it was YouTube or Facebook clip of your goal last week against Kilmacrenan. Sounded like there was a decent enough crowd there.
Yeah, the same supporters are out every week, to be fair to them. The same voices every week. They're great support. They're very loud. And look, they've been wanting to get back up to this Premier as much as us. So, we can expect to see them every week.
And what about the training? Is it 2 days a week, or what's the sort of schedule that you have at the moment?
Yeah, we're going 2 days a week. We're going Tuesday evenings and Thursday evenings. I think we must be doing that for the last 20, 30 years. So I think we're going to stick with that. Seems to be going okay.
And, of course, there's the Saturday team. And I think you've also got women's soccer up and running as well. So that augurs well for the future.
Yeah, the numbers down there at the minute are absolutely crazy with all the underage teams as well. I think most age groups have probably three teams in there, a first team, a development team, and even a third string team. We are currently getting Killymard is getting it's being done up at the minute. So we're waiting on that. We have the Astro down there, but once we get Killymard pitch done up, it'll be a massive help to the to the underage as well.
Yeah. Well, back to the Premier Division matters. And this weekend, you are away to Glenaie United, who, of course, were promoted along with yourselves last year. Always a difficult place to go to. They were well beaten by Letterkenny last week. Little doubt that they'll be determined to try and get a couple of points on the board. So it's not going to be easy at all.
No, Glenaie is always a very difficult trip. As you said, they won the league last year and they beat us twice on their way to winning that. So they deserved it. So look, we'll go down and try to turn that over this year. You mentioned Letterkenny beat them 5-0, but you can't really look into them results because we know the quality that Letterkenny have. So no, we know how tough it's going to be down in Glenaie, so we'll just go down and give it a go. Hopefully keep the form going.
Have you hit the ground running, or do you feel, you know, the team's still settling a little bit? Of course, you had the Brian McCormick Sports, the Area Cup as well, but sometimes it can take a while for the players to sort of gel at this time of the year.
We're very happy with the young lads. They've come in and they've done very well. Like on Sunday, for example, we had four lads under 18, so that's looking really, really good for us for the future. Yeah. And we're still being slightly affected with the Gaelic as well. We have three or four boys to come back now in the next few weeks, so hopefully the lads that are out already can keep going, and these lads will come in and add to it all.
Yeah. Now, as manager, I suppose one of your headaches sometimes can be the team selection. Do you have in your head, even at this stage, sort of an idea of what your first choice 11 is, or is it still a matter of sort of a little bit of tweaking in the first few games?
Oh yeah, there's definitely still tweaking. It's probably a first 15 or so there. But look, that's the problems you want. You don't want to know your 11 for every week. You want to get to the Thursday, Friday and still have a few headaches, so I won't complain about that.
You do need a little bit of strength and depth, so it's good to have guys on the bench who, no doubt, if they get the chance to come on, they'll want to take it and try and stake a claim to be in the team.
That's what we said to the lads at the start of the year. We need a squad this year, and any given week you could be starting, you could be on the bench, and we really need them 15, 16 lads ready to perform on a Sunday this year, because every other team's going to have that, so we need more than just the 11.
In the top tier, good to see you're going to have a South Donegal derby with St Catharines. So I suppose it's important for the league. It's nice to have that little bit of a geographical spread.
Yeah, definitely. The last few years, we were down in Division 1 and St Catharines were in the Premier Division, and we both had a lot of travelling, and this will take, I suppose, two games for both teams during the year. That's a lot closer, less travelling, and you always want a local derby as well.
Ryan, thanks for joining us, and we look forward to watching how the season goes for you this year.
No problem. Thank you, Chris.
Highlands' Chris Ashmore in conversation with Donegal Town boss Ryan Hegarty. And just to recap, Donegal Town are away to Glenaie United this Sunday. There are just two other Premier Division games this weekend. Fannin United host KG Rovers, and Kildrum Tigers are at home to Bonagie United. In the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1, there's one game taking place tonight as Rathmullen Celtic play Convoy Arsenal at Orchard Park. And there are four more games in that division on Sunday. Cadbury Rovers host Kerry Keel. Castlefin are at home to Gidore United. Gidore Celtic play Swilly Rovers, and Milford United welcome Ballybofey United. In the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2 on Sunday, it's Deal Harps up against Drumkeen United. Dromahol play Letterbarrow Celtic. Dunfanaghy Youths are at home to Raphoe Town. Lifford Celtic host Duncan Ely Celtic, and White Strand United play Curra Athletic. There are also games across all Saturday divisions of the Donegal League on Saturday afternoon. In the Inishowen Football League, there are four games in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division on Sunday. Clonmany Shamrocks welcome QPS. Champions Muncrana Hearts play Elise Celtic. Cockhill Celtic play Aileach, and Kildaff host Redcastle. There are also games in Divisions 1 and 2 in Inishowen on Sunday. Institute and Limavady are back in action in the NAFL Championship this weekend. Stute go to Anna United, while Limavady are away to Armagh City. Both of those games are at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Now it is time for a quick break here on The Score. When we come back, we'll be speaking to Paddy McDade, who is the head of women's football at Finn Park. Welcome back to The Score. Now, Finn Harps have confirmed that the club will field a senior team in the 2026 Women's Development League. This new league will feature an even mix of senior clubs like Finn Harps entering for the first time and the under-23 squads from existing Women's National League clubs like Shamrock Rovers, Shelburne and Sligo Rovers. This is a major development for women's soccer here in the county. And Chris Ashmore has been finding out more about what's in store from Paddy McDade, the head of women's football at Finn Harps.
Well, Paddy, great news that Finn Harps have confirmed that the club will field a senior team in the 2026 Women's Development League. So this is a major development.
Yeah, absolute historic moment for Finn Harps Football Club. Chris, I've been in this role now for about 5 years. I've had the women's at Finn Harps. I have a lot of really good support from the board, from a lot of people within the club, from the head of the Boys Academy, Kevin McHugh. It's just been every year gets busier and busier, to be honest. And the 17s and the 19s have developed so well over the last 3 years. We're starting to see the fruition of that there. So doing really well. But the main thing and the main reason I took up this role was to see could we get a senior women's team at Finn Harps. And I wasn't sure how long that would take. There's a lot of things you have to write in place, you know. So I think what the FAI and the League of Ireland have come up with, it's a good solution. My only fear, I suppose, is you jumping from under 17 straight to seniors, you know. So there's a couple of years in that in-between category I'm just a wee bit worried for. I wonder what's going to happen to them. But listen, at the same time, some of them are good enough to move up. I mean, the majority of our team next year will be made up of this year's under-19s, plus a few of the 17s who are going to be overage for 17s next year. It also opens the door for other players within the county, within the Northwest even, to come and play senior football. And we will be having assessment days where we'll be having a look for people, an opportunity to go out and to impress us. Desi McGlinchey is under-19 manager this year. He's done a great job with them. They've had a good year as well. Good, solid team, play really good football. And you know, there's going to be opportunities for people to come in and try, and the majority team will be that 19 team, but there'll be people coming in and to try and back up what we have there already.
So just bring us up to speed, the situation at Harps at the moment at women's underage level, how many teams are there?
So we have under 17s and under 19s that compete in the League of Ireland. We also had an under 16 team that entered the Northern Ireland Super Cup this year for under 16s in the Premier. So that was a super experience for the girls, playing against the likes of Aston Villa, Brighton, a team from America, Surf Select. So the girls got to see the standard there, to be honest. And to be honest, since we've come back from that tournament, the under 17s have really kicked on from that experience. And you can see that has really helped them as well to develop. So you have two teams majorly, and we have that under-16 team for the Super Cup at the moment.
And the current situation in the League of Ireland, there are the likes of Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers who are playing in a league. So just explain to us how that is going to change going forward.
So at the moment, there's 12 Premier Division teams, and next year they'll be able to enter in an under-23 team into the league along with us. So they're hoping to have about 20 teams, so 10 teams north, 10 teams south. So likes of ourselves, Dundalk, Cove Ramblers, we will have senior women's, so there's no age restriction on it. But likes of Shamrock Rovers, Sligo Rovers, for example, they can put an under-23 team into this development league. Now, you'll probably find that will be most of their under-19s from this year as well, or they will be quite young, those teams, I would say, especially in the first year. And I suppose we weren't sure what way it was going to go, but I think it's, in general, it seems to be like a good idea. And I suppose our biggest thing up here in the Northwest is the amount of travel we have to do. So the fact they're regionalising us is going to help, especially financially, stuff like that. So we're going to need a lot of huge finance to support this. So anybody out there that's looking to sponsor us or give us a shout on Facebook, whatever it is, because it is going to take a lot more funding than maybe the under-19s, for example. But that's always our biggest expense, the travel. I mean, last year for two teams, it was 17 and a half grand. That's phenomenal. Like, we do get grants and stuff, but it's not enough.
So long term, are we going to see a professional women's league, do you think, in this country?
So they're saying that there won't be any relegation promotion for the first maybe 2 years they're chatting about. Now, that gives us maybe a chance to establish ourselves and develop our team as well. No more than we did with under 17s and 19s. It gives us just maybe a two-year window just to try and build it up and try and bring in the right calibre of players that we can compete. And we will get a chance to play in the FAI Cup, the Senior Women's FAI Cup as well. So that'll probably give us where the benchmark is at and how far we have come on as well. So you'd be hoping within a couple of years' time then that there will be, I would say they will look at maybe a 10-team Premier Division team and a 10-team First Division, something very similar to the men's football.
And for the immediate future, I take it the vast majority of players are going to be local players.
Oh, that's the absolute goal. I mean, you see that already with our under-19s and under-17s. The majority of players are coming within Donegal and Shone, and the North West itself. Listen, there's real, some of these girls, their commitment levels is unbelievable. These girls travel from Carndonagh, from Gidore, from Killybegs, Donegal Town, all over. You know, and their commitment is just unbelievable to make that journey for two nights training. You've seen there tonight the training we had. I think there was about 38 there between the two teams, so that's just phenomenal numbers that we're getting, and it just shows how much interest is out there for the girls' football.
And just bring us up to date as to how the under-17s and under-19s are doing in their respective leagues this year.
Yes, so the under-19s are in a 10-team North section, and they've only got a couple of games left. They've had a good season. When you come up against the likes of the Bohemians and Shelburnes, and we found like the girls have beaten Galway, they've beaten Sligo Rovers, but second time around, they're bringing down a few stronger players because they know that we're a good team and they respect that. So that's kind of a compliment to our under-19s that, you know, the senior teams know when they play us they need to come strong, because the girls have done really well in other games as well. So they're almost finished. Looks like they're going to go into the Shield, which will be into quarter-finals. Like, so I think they'll stand up a really good chance in that, to be honest. The under-17s just missed out in the elite phase by a point or two. And so we've been playing in the second tier, but we're actually currently top of that. So we had a big game last week down in Mayo, where they were a point behind us, but they had a game in hand. But down in Mayo, we beat them 3-0. The girls played absolutely fantastic. And so we'll go into the Shield quarter final too, looking at it now, the way the table's worked out. We have a lot to play for. We won't be taking them for granted as well. Like, the girls are still working hard there, training. I just said to them tonight, you know, you have to keep going. There's bigger games ahead as well. But we have two games left now before that comes up. So we have lots to play for. It's a long season for the girls. They're on here since mid-January. And they were doing programmes over the winter as well. So all credit to them, to all the coaches we have. Thomas Hughes, Luke Doherty, our goalkeeper coach. We have Anne McFadden helping out this year, Megan McLaughlin. So, you know, there's a really good mix of coaches that are giving up their time and sacrificing as well. Like I said, Desi's under-19 manager. So it's been good overall this year from everyone, and hopefully that'll push on to the women's team next year.
And what about the facilities and the actual matches themselves? Do they tend to be played on artificial pitches?
I suppose no more than the men's football. There's a mixture, Chris, you know. We play a lot of our games, and we're very thankful to Ulster Football Club. We play a lot of our games down there. It's a grass pitch. I would rather girls play on the grass, because especially with girls football, you're worried about ACL injuries and things like that there. So we play a lot of our games in Quarry Park. Play the one in Finn Park. There's probably, when we go away from home, it's either AstroTurf or an odd grass pitch, but mostly AstroTurf at the moment, to be honest. That's what we're doing at the moment. But the women's team will play in Finn Park moving forward.
And the response amongst the girls when this news came out, I mean, it's something for people to look forward to and to aspire to.
Yeah, I think for a lot of these girls, they've been very patient, because they have been asking for the last 2 years, especially, you know, are we going to have a women's team, because they're getting to that age zone now. You know, they see some of the men or some of the young lads at the club pushing up into the first team at Finn Harps, you know. So it's important for them too that they can push on to play senior women. And some of them, of course, could play elsewhere and stuff like that. But for us to offer that to them now in their own backyard, that's what it's all about. And they're chomping at the bit. I mean, they're ready. A lot of these girls are ready to play senior football, to be honest. Even though they're quite young, a lot of them, they're ready to play. But we have like Erica Gallagher and Cody Walsh, who are both or two overage players, under 19, so they're like 21-20, so they're ready to play. We would have Ashton Call last year. She'll be ready to come back in as well. Like, so there are players there already, and we're just looking to add that, to be honest.
And the fact that at an international level players from the Northwest are getting recognised as well, that shows very much the talent is out there, and no doubt that's going to continue.
Yeah, of course it is. And as you know, like, Irish football is growing rapidly throughout the country, and that goes for every county, and we're trying to keep up with that as well. You know, so the levels have gone up throughout the country, and I've seen that myself. I'm involved with under-15 Ulster schools, Irish schools. You just see the talent that's out there is phenomenal. But in order for us to keep up with it, it's essential we got this senior team and we keep the 17s developing as well. And you know, there is chat down the line too. There might be an under 15 National League as well. Like, but that's all down the line. We've enough to worry about for now.
So, Paddy, it's important to have a flow of girls coming through and joining up with Harps. Do we need to have a strong league structure with other teams within the county, do you think? You know, we've seen Donegal Women's League sort of come and go over the years, and I take it the more people that are getting involved and playing, there's going to be a need there for more teams, for players who may not be with Harps initially.
Well, when you see the Donegal Women's League and the Sean Women's League, when you see the underage development alone, you know, there's so many girls playing football now, and the natural progression you'd hope for them is to move on into senior football. I suppose just it's trying to bridge that gap is the big one for them, and there is a serious dropout level then once they, you know, get into their leaving cert year or those teenage years especially, you know. So, you know, there's a lot of really talented girls out there, and we've had ones even in the last few years that, you know, that have gone away because of commitments for other things, and so some of them might come back and play for us as well. Like, you know, the door's always open to them as well. So, you know, there's a lot of girls out there with potential and capability of playing in the National Women's League. But yeah, 100% in fairness, like the Donegal Women's League and the Shone League, the Senior Women's League seem to be getting better and better each year and more participants, you know. So that like anything else, that takes time to grow, so it doesn't and to develop, but hopefully it will, because that's going to back us up as well. I'm down the line, and that's what you want, and you want girls pushing themselves on and trying to be at the National League level. And if they're not good enough for that level, you want to see them playing locally and really helping the leagues here, because it is, you know, football career is a very short window, like, you know. So it's important that they take that opportunity when it comes along.
And we've seen how the public have got behind the Irish women's national team, and there was a period there that the crowds watching them seemed to be breaking records nearly every time they played at home. So there is an appetite for it out there. No doubt long term, it would be great to see a Finn Harps team in a national league and people coming out in big numbers to support them.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate goal, Chris, to be honest, you know, and I think it's what the girls would deserve themselves. Anyone who comes along to watch our games at 17 and under 19 level, they always say, God, there's a really good standard, there's really good competitive games. And it's there, the talent is there. So I've no doubt that once we have our senior women's team up and running, people will come for a look and they will like what they see, because these are honest girls playing really good football, and that's what you want, you know, girls out demonstrating the skill level they have. So all credit to them, to be honest.
And you touched on the finances and, of course, geographically, the extra travel up here. Are we sure that, you know, Finn Harps, it's always a battle to balance the books from the women's perspective with the FAI support and everything. The securities there are there. I take it that the league itself is going to survive. You know, we're not going to see clubs dropping out, struggling financially.
I think that was one of their major decisions, Chris, when they decided there was chat about maybe doing a first division. And I think they saw problems with that. So I think this is one of the solutions to secure it, that the finance won't be as much. If you run a first division team, you have to have a lot more things in place, where it's going to be quite similar, this development league, to under 19, the way it's set up. So therefore, the expenses might be cut a little bit, or they will be. So that maybe gives us a chance to survive a lot more, and we're still going to need obviously plenty of funding, but I think it just gives us a chance to breathe and to actually try and grasp what we need overall. And like anything else, it's going to take time for us to learn about it, see how it works out. At the end of the day, you're putting in on 23 teams as well, and with senior teams as well. Like, so I think it's a good idea, but time will tell how good it is.
That is Paddy McDade, the head of women's football at Finn Park. Now, Jack Porter of the Premier Darts Club Letterkenny won the coveted JDC Volts title on Sunday in Letterkenny. Jack beat Christian Ennis 4-1 in the final of a 32-strong event where elite youth darts players were competing. Jack now qualifies for the JDC Volts finals in Coventry next weekend to play for a £6,000 pot, and has the chance to play on the PDC Grand Final stage at the Grand Prix later in the year. He is now also qualified for the World Youth JDC Finals in November in Gibraltar. And I'm delighted to say we can now talk to Jack, who's on the phone line this evening. Jack, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us here on The Score.
No worries. An honour to be here.
Well, congratulations on your JDC Volts title win last weekend. How did it feel for that last dart to land on the double and take the win, Jack?
I've had a lot of big wins when I've played darts, but But I'll tell you now, that was one that just really, really meant a lot. You know, I put in the hard work for it. It's one that I really want to win. The first time now, heading out to England for a tournament, and I feel like all the hard work then came out now.
Yeah, I was doing a wee bit of research before chatting to you, and I saw that video of you landing the last dart on the Premier Darts Club Facebook page. It obviously meant a lot to you and your family that moment when the dart went in.
Absolutely. Just all the nerves, everything, it just went away. I didn't know what to do. Once I won, then shook everybody's hand, just went straight to my mum. Then just first thing we said to each other is we're going to Coventry, and they were going to Gibraltar as well.
Yeah, nice moment. So as you touched on there, this means you'll now be playing at the JDC Volts National Finals over in Coventry next weekend. You must be excited about that.
Absolutely. Haven't had much time to prepare for it. I've only had a week, but I'm going to spend this time now just trying to, you know, relax, don't put myself under too much pressure, try and take it as experience, because I've never been there before, so try and enjoy the moment is where I'm at it.
For sure. You'll be going over there to compete against some of great young dart players like yourself, Jack. It'll be a great experience and a big learning curve for you in your journey.
Absolutely. It's what you want now. The fact you get to go down there as well, it's a fantastic experience to be there as well, with the amount of support I got there last week as well. If it wasn't for the people there supporting me, in my opinion, I wouldn't be there right now chatting to you. So I think just the support I got, and I'll probably get a lot more support as well when I'm heading off. So that's another reason why I think I'm going to do very well.
Yeah, you're heading over next weekend. Put you under pressure now. Do you think another big win could be in the cards? What are you thinking?
I know that if I can just play my game, you know, I just focus on myself and I can just get myself right mentally. I know I can beat anybody who faces me. The way you have to think like that in darts, it's more a mental game, and if I kind of get my mentality right, if I know I can beat anybody I play, I feel like I can go very far.
And I believe there's a wee prize of, what is it, £6,000 for the winner. That's not a bad incentive to go and play well.
No, it's not bad. No, in my head I wouldn't be thinking too much about the money, I'd be focusing more on the results, but after the tournament I'd kind of focus on that. But the fact I get this experience as well, you have to thank the JDC. They're giving so much opportunities for the youths, and what they're doing is very, very good.
Yeah, that's it. It's all about the experience, isn't it? I know you're busy. You're in secondary school. What kind of practice will you be doing between now and next weekend?
I'll be doing a wee bit now. I'm off to the Premier Darts Club matches today as well for a wee bit of a practice. So I'll be going down there just trying to relax, try and get used to playing outside the house again. Just it's very hard as well at the same time. You're thinking, because you have school, is what you mentioned there. You spend an hour or two studying, then you spend another hour or two then practicing, so on and so forth. So yeah. That's kind of the way it kind of works.
Yeah, and the win last week also opened up some other doors for you, Jack. You've qualified for the World Youth JDC Finals in November in Gibraltar. That's also very exciting.
Absolutely, yeah. Something I've seen a lot of tournaments from the JDC, but one I really, really want to go to is Gibraltar. So to qualify for it, that's something else that really will be. Gibraltar's just been the place on my bucket list I've ever wanted to go to. So to be there then, to play in the World Championship, is something that has always been a big dream for me, and hoping I can do what I can do there.
And you'll also get the chance to play on the PDC Tour and the World Masters in Budapest later in the year. Do you know much about that yet?
I do know about that now. We realised that there was a couple months ago that we'd be heading off. And we did qualify for last year, myself and my brother. But it's good as well to see my sister Aoife also qualify for the girls. So it's good to see us three as siblings all qualifying for it, knowing that we definitely did put Donegal on the map and put Ireland on the map throughout the world, when we can definitely see what we can do.
For sure, that'll be some experience when it comes around. So that won't be your first experience of the big stage and the bright lights then? You were there before?
I was there last year at Budapest. Played the World Masters, end up losing to the boy who was the world champion, so I couldn't do much. But I gave him a run for his money. I definitely gave him a good game. And I definitely know I can come back there going even better.
How old are you, Jack?
I'm 14 years of age.
Right. You're obviously going well, and I know you'll just want to keep playing darts, but do you have ambitions of a career in the sport? We've seen a big rise in popularity in darts over the past number of years. Is that a pathway you'd maybe like to go down someday?
Absolutely. Something that I've really wanted to do, it's because I feel like I'm doing very well at the moment. You know, I'm putting in the work. It very hard to do as well. You can see there's very, very few people that do end up taking it as a full-time job. So it's about how much work you put in, and it's definitely something you can do, but it's not easy. Definitely not easy.
Definitely not. Well, you have the world at your feet, and best of luck next weekend. Thank you very much for joining us here this evening, and we'll be keeping a close eye on you here in Highland Jack. All right, take care.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
14-year-old Jack Porter making waves on the darts scene. And as I say, he has the world at his feet, so it'll be interesting to see where that young man can go. Now let's turn the focus to Gaelic games. We're getting towards the business end of the Michael Murphy Sports Senior Football Championship here in Donegal. The first semi-final gets underway on Saturday at 5 o'clock as Gidor and St Michael's go head-to-head for a place in the senior final. That gets underway at O'Donnell Park. And at 4 o'clock on Sunday, also at O'Donnell Park, it's the turn of Niamh Connell and Four Masters to bid for their spot in the decider. We will have full live match coverage of both of those big games here on Highland this weekend. The Senior Championship Relegation Playoff Final will be played on Saturday afternoon at Tyrconnell Park. St Naas and Éire Ballyshannon will both aim to secure their senior status as they clash at 2 o'clock. In the Intermediate Relegation Playoff, Cluachanaidí play Na Rossa at the Banks at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Also on Saturday, both Junior A semi-finals will take place as Niamh Breach face Letterkenny Gaels and Cairn Donagh play Convoy. Well, Highland's dedicated GAA programme is now available to listen back to over on our website. This week, Brendan Devaney has been reviewing and previewing all the weekend's championship action in Donegal on the DL debate, which you can now tune into on the playback section over at highlandradio.com. The Tyrone and Derry senior championships hot up this weekend, with the quarter-finals taking place in both of those counties. Tomorrow night, Trillick play Pomeroy in the quarterfinal of the Tyrone Championship. That gets underway at 7:30 in Oma. And on Saturday, reigning champions Errigal Kieran take on Oma at 5 o'clock, while Sunday sees Eden Dork go up against Carrickmore and Donoughmore play Loughmacrory. In Derry, the action starts on Saturday with Glenn facing Banagher and O'Donovan Rossa facing Ballaghy. And on Sunday, Sláinteoidle play Lavey and Steelstown play Newbridge. Finally, on tonight's show in rugby, the action continues for North West clubs in the provincial leagues on Saturday. In Ulster Championship 1, Oma are away to Dromore. In Championship 2, it's Letterkenny at home to Ards. We'll be going over to Alec McDonald for updates from that one. And City of Derry play Academy in Provincial North. Inishowen are away to Letterkenny's second out. That is just about it for this episode of The Score. I've been your host, Mark Gallagher, and if you missed any of tonight's show, it will be available to listen back to very shortly over on our website at highlandradio.com. Have a great evening, enjoy the sport at the weekend, and I will talk to you all again very soon.